Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me this morning in your Bibles to John chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 10 to 14. Let's begin by reading the text. John 1 verse 10 says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The text begins in verse 10 by saying, "He was in the world." He was in the world. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. If you really stop and think about that, the God of heaven came to this world. And he stayed in this world for 33 years. Now, why did he come? Why would he leave glory? Why would he leave the comforts of paradise and come down here to this filthy, evil world? Why would he do that? Why did he come? Well, he said in Luke chapter 19, "I am come to seek and to save that which was lost." He said in Luke chapter 9, "The Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." He said in John 10, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." He came here to save dying sinners. That's why he came. Verse 10 says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Isn't that so sad? Isn't that terrible? It's sad, but it's true. The world knew him not. And the world will be shocked on the day of judgment to hear him say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Well, the text, John 1 verse 11 says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." This great God of mercy, his own rejected him. They wouldn't receive him. It started the moment he put himself in the womb of a virgin. Joseph was going to put Mary away, privately it said, because of him, because she was pregnant with him. When it came time for her to deliver, Mary had to lay him in a manger. That's a feeding trough in a barn, because it says there was no room for him in the inn. He can't stay here. This is the one who created the universe. Herod hated him so much, he demanded every child 2 years and younger is going to die because of him. On the cross of Calvary, they all cried with one accord, "Crucify him. We hate him. We hate him." Who said that? The Satan worshipers? No, it was God's church who said that. 5,000 of the people that brought him to Pilate, demanding that he be crucified, God saved him at Pentecost. And they made up the beginning of the New Testament church. That's what the book of Acts, chapters 1 through 4 says. Our God is good. He's so good. But verse 11 in our text says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. The fool says, I wouldn't reject Him. They might have, but I never have, and I never will. Well, if you have your Bibles open, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 3 says this, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Verse 6 says, All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Peter said, Lord, they may leave you, but not me. I'll lay down my life for you. And the Lord said, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you'll deny me three times. Three times. You know, the problem for mankind is, we've rejected God. We've rejected God, and we don't even know it. We don't. In what way? How have we rejected God? Man by nature has no idea who Jesus Christ really is. And they don't bow to Him for who He really is. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not as God. This man, Jesus Christ, who came and walked this earth, is the very same God who spoke the world into existence. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. You know, well, I go to church, I'm religious. Well, it doesn't matter if I don't know who God is. It doesn't matter at all. Can you believe He had mercy on any of us? This is why the gospel is such good news. It's such good news. It's because none of us deserve it. Verse 12 in our text back in John chapter 1 says, But in spite of that, in spite of the fact that He was in the world and the world was made by Him and the world knew Him not, in spite of the fact that He came unto His own and His own received Him not, it says, But as many as received Him, received, not accepted, received. Did you know that the phrase, accept Jesus as your personal Savior, is nowhere in the Bible? Did you know that? The word accept is in the Bible 25 times. The word accepted is in the Bible 29 times. And not one time is God asking anybody to accept Him. Not one time. He says, I have accepted you. Sadly, most of the time He said, I will not accept you. I have not accepted you. But but as many as he accepted. As many as he was good to. As many as he chose to give himself to. As many as received him. Our text, verse 12, says, to them, not to all, but to them, gave he. He gave power, it says. And that word power means the privilege. That's what it means. It's not insinuating at all that he put the ability in their hands. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Salvation is a great privilege. It's a great privilege. We are chosen to be saved. Now turn with me over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John, in the back of our Bible, chapter 3. Verse 1 says this, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world knoweth us not. The world doesn't understand us, doesn't understand where we're coming from, because it knew him not. The world, the way of the world, the way everybody's going, the way everybody thinks, mainstream religion, the broad way. Our Lord said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Everybody's going this way. Well, be careful. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Our text says in John 1, nobody knew him. Nobody received him. But he saved some, in spite of themselves. It says in verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13 says, which were born. Born again. Now, two chapters over, our Lord told a man in John 3, his name was Nicodemus. He said to him in John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot, except a man is born again. And then in verse 6, he said, that which is born of the flesh, the first time, we're all born into this world the first time. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Must be. Now all men and women by nature, every one of us born into this world, we're all lost. Every one of us. Every human being that is physically born into this world, we're born lost. Actually, we're more than just lost. We're dead. Dead. And unless a person is given life, unless a person is born again, unless they're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, he or she cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Cannot. A person must be saved. The problem with most all is they have no idea they're lost. No idea. They have no idea what that means. But a person must be saved. All right, now, let me show you here in our text three things that cannot save a person. Three things that absolutely cannot save a person. Our text, John chapter 1, verse 13, says this, which were born, that means born again, given life, spiritual life, saved, that's what it means, which were born not of blood. Not of blood. Now, that's not talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not talking about that at all. That word in the Greek, it means two things. It means the blood of a man or an animal, and it also means kindred, relatives. That's what it means. Hebrews 10 says this, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. You can sacrifice all you want to, but it's not going to take away your sins. We can give up all kinds of things, but it's not going to take away our sin. Even though a man dies for his cause, even though he's martyred for his cause, it will not save his soul. It does not matter if my mother and my grandmother were saved. It has no bearing on my soul. My status doesn't matter. My race doesn't matter. It is not of blood. It's not of blood. Verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It does not matter how badly my flesh wants to inherit the kingdom of God. It does not matter how hard I try to do good things. It doesn't matter. The things I do, they don't matter. All the works of my flesh are filthy rags in the eyes of God. That's what the scripture says. He told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's all it's ever going to be. Now listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 50 says this, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. It's not going to happen. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now listen to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verses 15 through 17, say this. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. My Father which is in heaven did. A saving knowledge of Christ cannot come by flesh or by blood. Our text in John 1 verse 13 says, which were born not of blood. My status in the world can't save me. My bloodline can't save me. It says, nor of the will of the flesh. My works can't save me. Verse 13 says, nor of the will of man. Let me show you a couple of scriptures for this. The first one is John chapter 5, verse 40. It says, ye will not come to me that you might have life. That's what the Lord said. You will not come to me that you might have life. It can't be of the will of man. Man will not come. Now listen to Romans chapter 3. This is verses 10 and 11. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There's none. None that seek after God. It's not of the will of man. Now, even if I understand that I cannot save myself, even if I know that, even if I can see that in the Scripture, I can't save myself. Even if I understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has to do it, I cannot decide to give my heart to Jesus. I can't. I cannot make him my personal Savior. I cannot choose him. I can't. The choice is his. He must choose me. I can't do anything. I cannot do anything except cry out for mercy. That's all. Just cry out for mercy. Blind Bartimaeus, he couldn't do anything but cry, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Please have mercy on me. Well, wait a minute. So you're saying that salvation is dependent on something I do. You said I can't do anything except cry out for mercy. Is it dependent on me doing that? No. No. A dead man cannot cry. A dead man cannot cry for mercy. But listen to this. If I cry, then it is the evidence that God has given me life. It's the evidence. Now think about this. When a baby is first born, that doctor exhorts that baby to cry. Why does he do that? To prove that the baby's alive. It's proof of life. Does that baby cry in order to be alive? No. That baby cries because it is alive. Cry out for mercy. That's the exhortation. Salvation is of the Lord. Cry out for mercy. Salvation is not by my status. It's not by my works. It's not by my decision. Verse 13 in our text says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's of God. It is only by the blood of the Son of God. That's it. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain, that's it. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's it. It's only by His blood. It's only by the will of God the Father. In James chapter 1, verse 18, it says, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creature. It's of His own will. That is the only way. It's of God. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Listen to one more. This is Acts chapter 13, verse 48 says this. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained. Ordained. Purposed. Purposed to salvation. Ordained. To eternal life. Believed. It's of God. It is of God. It's not of man. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. Well, this gospel is good news. It's very good news. John chapter 1, I want to read verse 1 and verse 14 back to back. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. He was in the world. He came unto his own. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. For 33 years he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. We saw what God looks like. The Word that was with God, the Word that was God, the Word that is God. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We saw the Word of God. We saw what he looks like, and this is what God looks like. We beheld his glory. He looks like the only begotten of the Father. The God of heaven looks like the Son of God. Moses said, Lord, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. And he said, all right, I will. I will be gracious on whom I will be gracious. And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's the glory of our Lord. Verse 13 right here tells us three things that cannot save. And it tells us of the one and only thing that can. The Lord of glory. The Lord Jesus Christ. It's all of God. Until next Sunday, may the Lord bless his word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.